All right, so for the past, last week we started on this series looking at the Holy Spirit. Before then we had, before last week we had spent time looking at a series called The True Perspective. But for the next few weeks, I'll say maybe another 5 or so weeks, we'll be focusing on the Holy Spirit. Now, last week when we started, we looked at the life of Peter. And we did a before and after in the life of Peter, where we looked at the life of Peter before the Holy Spirit came and the life of Peter afterwards. And we saw a remarkable difference in his life. So that was the introduction last week. The other thing I mentioned is that the fact that I believe that the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood persons as part of the Godhead. I remember a long time ago when I was at uni and I had this friend. I wasn't a Christian then, and he was a Christian. In fact, some of my older sisters were Christians as well, and they were not like your normal, let me not say normal, they were not, you know, they were Pentecostals. They were real proper Pentecostals, tongue speaking and all that. And what I found really strange and was the fact that, you know, these guys in those days when I didn't understand, they spoke in tongues. I was like, man, this is really weird. And the whole concept I had then was this Holy Spirit business must be really spooky. So if it wasn't straight talk, like, you know, you came to church, you read the Bible, anyone that got into all this, you know, Holy Spirit stuff, I was really spooked then. I would just excuse myself from the meeting very, very quietly, because I thought, what's all this that's going on? So that's the background that I had a long time ago. And I believe that even now, when you mention the Holy Spirit, even in the Christian circles, a lot of people have different views. A lot of people believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. A lot of people, I mean, so many views about the Holy Spirit, leaving a lot of us in a state sometimes where we're not quite sure what to expect from the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. So it's in the back, considering the backdrop of that, that we're looking at this series called the series of the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to carry on and I'm going to be looking at who is the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to try and do today and, you know, going forward is to keep it really simple. I'm not going to go into anything that is theologically complicated. I want us to just, you know, look at the Bible, see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, not make it complicated, and just really begin to look at the Holy Spirit from what the Bible says about him, so that it, you know, we can really begin to understand the Holy Spirit and live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. All right, so today I'll look at 3 things. Who is the Holy Spirit? The second thing I'll look at is, what did Jesus say in the Bible about the Holy Spirit? And the third one that we'll look at, if time permits, is how does the Holy Spirit relate to the believer, to you and I? So the first thing, who is the Holy Spirit? I'm going to mention 2 things here, 2 main things. The first is that the Holy Spirit is God. All right? The Holy Spirit is God. You know, we say this thing about the Trinity, God in 3 persons. That's like another completely different topic. But the Holy Spirit is God. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The Bible tells us at the very beginning, before the world was created, it says, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Holy Spirit was present at creation. Now, you don't have to turn. If you go down further in Genesis, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our own image. So God didn't say, let me. He said, let us. Saying that the Holy Spirit was part of creation. The Holy Spirit was part of the creation of the formation of man. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit is God, and we need to realize that. He's also equal to the Father and to Christ as well. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. So this popular verse of scripture says, Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see here that the Holy Spirit is not just separate, he's actually God as well. And he has equal, he's equal in the Godhead. Now, the other thing as well is, if we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, 20 and 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, we also see here that it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's switch to NIV, please. So what this is saying is that in the writing of the scriptures, the Bible that we now have, it was the Holy Spirit that worked through men to write the Bible. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit put the words in the Bible. Again, so the first thing we need to realize is that the Holy Spirit himself is God. Now, the second thing we want to realize around who is the Holy Spirit, and I believe this is one that we need to also pay attention to. We know that, the Holy Spirit is God. That's fine. It's easy to accept that. The other thing we want to realize is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, when I say a person, I'm not saying a physical person like you and I, but a person in the terms that he has personality. He has feelings. God has feelings. You know, if you read in the Bible will say things like, God grieved, God was unhappy with, not pleased with the way the Israelites behaved and all that. So the Holy Spirit is a person and he has feelings as well. So the first thing we want to say is that the Holy Spirit actually speaks. If you look at Acts chapter 8 verse 29, Acts chapter 28 verse 29. In that passage of scripture, Acts chapter 8 verse 29. Well, I'll just quote that. So in that portion of scripture, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. He said, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, just hold that in your mind, that the Holy Spirit speaks, but we'll look at how that relates to us. So as a person speaks, as I'm speaking to you right now, the Holy Spirit actually speaks to us. Now, the only thing is that we might not recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit sometimes because we are not conscious of him. Do you understand? So as a person, he speaks. The other thing we need to also realize, if you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, the second point about the Holy Spirit being a person is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does it mean to grieve someone? Well, it means there's sometimes that, do you know that someone might just come to you and say something really bad and really hurt your feelings? Now, they haven't, hit you physically, but they've grieved you inside. You feel that pain. So the Bible tells us here that even though the Holy Spirit is God, he's a person and he has feelings, and we can grieve him and we can make him happy. Now, why am I pointing out all this? I'm pointing out all this because the Holy Spirit is a person. And the more we understand this, the easier it will be for us to relate to the Holy Spirit. And I'll come to that in a minute. Now, the other thing is this. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 15 verse 28, Acts chapter 15 verse 28, there was an incident that happened back in those days, and some people said, you know what, if when you're born again, you still need to keep the laws of Moses. You need to be circumcised to be a proper Christian. And there was a big argument in the church then. And they brought this matter before the apostles. And the apostles didn't just say, you know what, Peter, John, let's just discuss this amongst us. They consulted with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can be consulted with. So it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. And they now said a number of things. So the same way that if I have a decision to make, the same way that if there's some things on my mind that I'm not quite clear about, and I come to you and I say, Brother Flores, I need, you know, what do you think about this matter? Do you think we should go left or right? The same way the Holy Spirit can be consulted in that way. Now, all these things seem a bit far-fetched, I know, but this is the reality of the matter. Do you understand? Now, still talking about the Holy Spirit being a person, the last thing we want to look about in terms of him being a person is from the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Holy Spirit also gives instructions. He gives instructions. So if we see this, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. So we begin to see something here about the Holy Spirit, that he is God. But apart from the fact that he is God, he's a person. He speaks, he has feelings, he gives instructions. He can be consulted with, as you consult with, you know, another person. Now, I'm laying this foundation because Jesus began to say a number of things about the Holy Spirit that is really pertinent to us. So we've looked at who is the Holy Spirit. We've said he's God and he's a person. Now, the next thing we want to see is, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Now, when I begin to describe these things, then I believe we'll be able to be, Yes. It's good that I'm American, so I don't have to stick to all the British terms. So we'll begin to join the knots, the dots here. When we look at some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing, John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus was about to be crucified. He was going to leave the earth. He had been with his disciples for slightly over three years. Most of them had left their jobs. They had left everything they were doing, and they were following Christ. Sometimes when the authorities came to them and said, pay your tax. I mean, those guys had a good time. They would just say, you know what, Jesus, there's no money. Jesus said, go to the sea, cast your net there. They do that, money comes. Maybe their Peter's mother-in-law was unwell. Jesus appeared there, laid hands on her. She became well straight away. I mean, anything they wanted, Jesus was there. Can you imagine how they must have been walking? Yes, they would have just been walking. They knew that, you know what? They're in the boat, the sea start raving, people are, you know, the ocean is, and all that. Jesus just says, you know, be still, ocean, everything is still. So they were super confident. I mean, what could you tell them? They were just, Jesus was there. So they had no qualms at all. Do you understand? That's how they felt. And they were walking around town with Jesus. It was like, you know what? Anybody that, you know, misbehaves, Jesus will deal with them. Then something happened. One day, Jesus began to tell them, you know what, guys? I am leaving. I am going away. And if you read that John, you begin to see the reaction of the people. I think panic began to set in. They probably must have been thinking, my goodness, what? Where are you going, Jesus? Where are you going? And what will have been going on through their minds is maybe things like, my goodness, who's going to feed us? Who's going to pay when we get the red letters? Who's going to do this? And they were in panic. Jesus now said something to them. He says, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. So Jesus understood what they were feeling, and he said, look, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but I'm not going to leave you, he said, as orphans. I'm not going to leave you just hanging on a thread. I'm not going to leave you to just muddle through life and hope for the best. No. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He also said something there. He said, he will be with you forever. But they didn't really understand what Jesus meant. And they began to ask him all sorts of questions. All sorts of questions. Are you coming back? This, that, so on and so forth. But he said, I'm going to send somebody else to you. And that person will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit. Now, the point I want to make here is this. I've said that the Holy Spirit is God. I've said that the Holy Spirit speaks. I've said that the Holy Spirit instructs. I've mentioned that the Holy Spirit, we can consult with him. So what Jesus was telling them is the fact that, look, I am going away, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And all the things that I have been doing with you, he will carry on. Even better still, in the days of Jesus, Jesus was physically limited to a particular place at a particular time. Can you imagine if you wanted to see Jesus and he was still alive on the earth here? You would have had to travel to Israel, bought a ticket, all those things. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be another me, another Jesus, so to speak. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the Holy Spirit is right with you. Imagine Jesus being right by your side physically, and you have questions in your mind. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is right there. Now, the challenge is this, and you guys might be looking like, you know, right, that's good, that's good. The challenge is that we do not see the Holy Spirit physically. Unlike the days of the disciples when Jesus was there present, I mean, he was with them physically. So I believe that the biggest challenge we have is that the Holy Spirit is not physically present. But he is here. He's with you and he's with me. So Jesus said he will send another person to be with them. And he would do all the things that Jesus was doing. Now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to just stop here in a minute. There are a number of other things. I'll just focus on that. So, the point I'm just saying today is this. If the Holy Spirit is here with you and I, as Jesus said, if the Holy Spirit can be consulted, if he speaks, he consults, he directs us, he's there. The Bible says he comforts us, he does all sorts of things. He works through us as well. Then why is there such big, let me not say, why is there such a big gap in the life of a Christian? Why is it that the Christian, the believer, doesn't realize that the same things that Jesus did in those days, the Holy Spirit does in us and through us? Why? Because we don't know a lot of the times. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How does he work through us? That's another different topic entirely, which we'll look at. But do you know that, and I'll just divert here, the same way, okay, when we say someone speaks or someone communicates, the first thing that comes to our mind a lot of the times is that the person will speak to you audibly as I'm speaking, which is possible. But do you know that someone can communicate to you in other ways? For example, if I stood here, if I had like a whiteboard here, and I said, I'm not going to speak to you with words, and I begin to draw pictures, and I'm drawing different things on the screen, I'm saying, this is how I'm going to communicate to you. Do you know that if I drew a scene and I said, okay, describe the scene, or if I drew something and I said, look at that picture, what's that picture telling you? That would still communicate something to you. Do you understand what I mean? So what I'm just saying is that Communication is not limited to only words. Do you understand? So there are many times that the Holy Spirit will flash things in your mind. He will flash sometimes. Sometimes he will speak and you will hear a voice. But there are times that he will flash a picture in your mind. He will flash a scripture from the Bible in your mind, trying to tell you something. But because a lot of times we're not aware, a lot of the times we're not expecting him to talk to us that way. We're expecting him to speak audibly. Sometimes he does. We totally are not aware of what he's trying to tell us. Do you understand what I mean? And, you know, what I'm just saying is that it is really, 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 really simple. And what I'm just going to ask is that, you know, all the ideas we have about the Holy Spirit, or maybe you switch on God channel, you know, which is good sometimes, and you see like a conference and they call it Holy Spirit Conference, and you see one man there, and the man is, I'm not, you know, putting anybody now, and he says, oh, the Holy Spirit is here, and they make it seem sometimes so complicated. They make it seem like you have to be, you know, you have to be emotionally high, that the lights have to be down, the music has to be glaring, and, you know, yes, he works in that way sometimes, but all that is good, but not necessarily the only time that the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit can speak to you about your maths problem and tell you how to solve that problem. The Holy Spirit can speak to you about your keys that you lost and you're looking and you're going to be late. The Holy Spirit can tell you about you, about that job that you're looking for, that thing that you're looking for. How? If you just begin to pay attention to him. And what will happen is you will begin to get used to the way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It could be through the word, allegorically. It could be by showing you pictures. It could be by speaking to you. Amen. So I'm going to stop there today with who is the Holy Spirit. And what I want us to, what I want to leave with us today is the fact that God has not made anything complicated for us. God does not want to make anything complicated for us either. You don't have to have read the whole Bible. You don't have to be, you know, a super saint, so to speak, to encounter relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was just thinking that if you look at the kids behind there, imagine that you're a parent. In fact, you're not even a parent. You are just an onlooker, as we are. And you've got these little kids at the back. When we come to church, what do we want to do? We want to, well, carry them, and we want to speak with them. So when they say blah, blah, whatever they say, we don't care. We just want to hear them speak. We want to communicate. We're eager to communicate with them. The same way God, about Emmy, concerning us, God doesn't want to make himself complicated. He wants us to know that he is right by our side in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to stop there today. I'm going to ask that we just all rise up and pray this morning.